Hello and welcome to another Texans Talk podcast. I'm your host for the week, Anthony Wood, and with me tonight is the Pro Football Doc himself, former San Diego Chargers head doctor. Oh, sorry, you still there?
Yes.
Oh, sorry about that. It cut out for a second. Let me start that again.
Okay.
Hello and welcome.
You're with what? I'm sorry. You're with who? Which outfit again?
Texans Wire. We're part of USA Today's NFL Wire network.
Gotcha.
Hello and welcome to another Texans Talk podcast. I'm your host for the week, Anthony Wood, and with me tonight is the Pro Football Doc himself, former San Diego Chargers team doctor, David Chow. David, thank you very much for joining me. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely, and it's a bit of a difficult situation we call you in here because it's not exactly something we were hoping to be discussing today, but yes, you have some news on the JJ Watt situation as it is.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, the video seem to be correct here with what he's tweeted out, and in game, looking at it, I wrote an article and even went over some video at the ProFootballDoc.com website explaining why even in game I felt that he had a pec tendon rupture, and that would mean surgery in the end of his season, obviously the third time in the last 4 years. And believe it or not, I believe if you go to the video at the website and I walk you through the video, he does it before he tackles Josh Jacobs in the backfield. He does it splitting the line, and he still finishes off the tackle, and you can't almost not even tell the way he just shrugs it off. And he tries to play the next play even before coming out. So he certainly is as tough as they come.
Certainly. And with an injury like this, what does the recovery period typically look like?
Well, the bad news, it ends the season. No chance to come back off of injured reserve, especially since it's already week 8. The bad news is it needs surgery. The good news is recovery is full, and he'll be fine before OTAs. 4 months is usually pretty good, and, you know, that's the upside. This is not the end of his career, and he's not injury prone, and he'll come back as well as ever.
And with an injury like this, is this something that could come as an issue again in the future, or is this something that he will recover from entirely and won't necessarily cause him issues down the line over the coming years?
Very rare to have follow-up problems after a pec tear. After surgery, that will happen, but it's more likely to have his right pec tear than the left pec re-tear. So he should be pretty good.
And that's certainly good news for the Texans, that knowing that this won't necessarily be a career-ending injury. So that's some crumb of comfort to come out of this, certainly, this somewhat disappointing evening in that regard. And moving on elsewhere, the Texans did suffer a number of injuries today. We saw Deshaun Watson get kicked just below the eye. He had a rather swollen face tonight. Still managed to complete an absolutely wonderful touchdown pass, though. You've got to admire him for that. But then looking elsewhere, Lonnie Johnson suffered a concussion tonight. What do you think the situation is with regards to him at this point in time? Do you happen to know anything about that situation?
Well, first of all, on Deshaun Watson, I mean, my suspicion is next week you'll see him in one of these newly approved Oakley eye shields, right? So that can happen again a second time, at least next week or two. It's funny how the cleat got up in there, but he should be fine. Lonnie Johnson, concussions are hard to predict. No two are the same. It's kind of like snowflakes. You don't know which direction it's going to go. Currently in 2019, you're more likely to miss the next game than to not miss the next game. That's just statistics, but each situation is different.
And then finally, we also saw Texans left tackle leave the game with a left shoulder injury. Now, he was sitting on the sidelines for the rest of the game. It didn't seem as if he needed any support on that left arm or anything like that. Do you have any ideas at this point in time what that issue could be, or is this just a wait-and-see situation?
Well, as you know, I'm not calling sources or examining players. I'm using my eyes on video, just like with the J.J. Watt injury. And on Laremy Tunsil, I didn't see any particular video. Maybe you can point out a timing quarter if you knew of one, and I'll go back to Game Pass and look at it. But since I didn't see a particular injury on video, it's hard for me to say what he really has.
And something I wanted to bring up as well, going back to the JJ Watt situation, if I may, you mentioned obviously that it should be about 4 month recovery period. Now, we've seen obviously some players come back slightly sooner than expected. Over the look at Drew Brees, I guess, is the best example that comes to mind right at this moment. Is there any chance, say, the Texans were to make a deep playoff run, is there any chance you can see Watt being able to come back slightly earlier, or do you think that is very much a certainty, that 4 month period?
Well, I mean, I suppose it's possible to come back at perhaps a little less than 100% in as close as 3 months. And, you know, an 85% J.J. Watt's probably better than almost all the league. So is it impossible for him to come back if they make a run into playing in February? I don't think it's impossible, but I don't think it's very likely. Not that the Texans can't get there, but let's put it this way. I think the Texans have a better chance of being in the Super Bowl than J.J. Watt of playing in the Super Bowl. But it's not zero.
It's not zero. I guess that's the best that we could hope for at this point in time. And then I just wanted to ask as well, obviously you mentioned that you spotted this injury sort of from the get-go. What was it about his movement, or what was it that really triggered that thought in your mind that this is an injury, this is something he needs to have a look at? What specifically was it that happened?
Well, I mean, I'm not trying to be to hide things, but some of it is just gut feel from my experience. I mean, I looked at video for over 17 years when I was a head team physician of the San Diego Chargers. I'd see a player on the field, on the sideline, in the locker room, and then the next day after an MRI, and then we'd go upstairs and look at the head athletic trainer and I and look at video from the injury. And now I can sometimes reverse engineer what happened by looking at it. So a lot of it is very qualitative and feel, but just the way that it looked, at first, I didn't see anything. I had to rewind it a few times and look more closely at his reaction to the injury and, quite honestly, how he tackled Josh Jacobs. He didn't tackle him in the routine way that I would expect. And I go through this on the video. I'm not trying to pump the website because it's free, so you can log on, create an account, no credit card. But at the top there, you'll see a video where I talk about J.J. Watt. I literally walk through the plays and give you a little bit of what I think and see. And we did that during the game, before the game was over and before any announcements about J.J. Watt came. That's kind of what I was doing. And it's kind of what we do at the website, including providing injury index information in terms of who's injured and who's not. You know, a Texans run defense will have, how will they do against based injury information before the games? And we have something called Field View, where there's a lineup, let's say, that the Texans offense against the next week's defense in terms of who might be injured.
Absolutely. Well, we're going to have a much closer look at that then moving forward to see exactly what happened there with JJ and what to look for moving forward. Dr. Chow, thank you so much for joining us. It's been an absolute pleasure to speak to us. Where can our listeners find you on social media?
At Twitter, at Pro Football Doc, also Facebook, Pro Football Doc, and the website is profootballdoc.com. My pleasure chatting with you, but I feel like we should be talking rugby or soccer.
Absolutely. Well, England are in the Rugby Cup final, so I'm sure we'll have to catch up and discuss any injuries that happen to happen there.
Sounds good.
Thank you very much for speaking to us. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you once again to Dr. Chow. And now moving on to our following guest for this evening, obviously following the breaking news of J.J. Watt's season-ending injury. My following guest's favourite, some say his favourite website is the Texans Wire, and that's because it is. It's my very own editor, Mark Lay. Mark, thanks very much for joining us. How are you doing?
Hey, Anthony. Good to be on with you from this side of the podcast.
It's just a shame about the circumstances, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is, because Watt's somebody that we've followed, and his recovery from that, it was really more like a double recovery from season-ending injuries back in 2018, and it looked like, hey, he played 16 games in 2018, he whipped it, he's back to normal, he's resuming his prime, and now that to have this happen, he's going to end his third season of the past four. on injured reserve. You just hate to see it happen, not only just to a face of the franchise type of guy, really one of the genuine kind men in the NFL, but one of the generational talents. Three NFL Defensive Player of the Year awards. Only Lawrence Taylor has done that. So that's what I'm saying. It's a shame to see, at 30 years old in his ninth season, a generational talent have another year just wiped away due to injury.
And what's frustrating, for, I guess, from a lot of people's point of view as well, is that this is a completely unrelated injury. This is, has nothing to do with any of his prior injury issues. Same as his last injury, his leg fracture. Again, that was completely unrelated to anything else. It's just been consistent bad luck. It's not been anything he's doing. It's not how he's training or anything like that. It's purely bad luck. And you've really got to feel for the guy, given how hard and how much he's had to, how hard he's had to work and how much he's had to come through to get back to where he is.
Yeah, and the pectoral injury, that's something that Whitney Merciless had, though. You'll remember back on October the 8th, 2017, it was a Sunday night game against the Kansas City Chiefs at NRG Stadium. Merciless actually went out with a torn pectoral. He was lost for the year, but then he came back and he played all 16 games last season. So it's not something that you can't recover from. You can't be dominant when you come back from something like this. You know, I wouldn't bet against J.J. Watt for 2020. You know, I really think that he's going to rehab. He knows what it's like to come back from the dark place. I don't think it's as dark of a place, you know, from just a sports writer sitting at home, you know, evaluating the world as it goes by is stoop. But it's compared to, because think about it, herniated disc. I mean,
it was horrendous
stuff. Yeah, that's scary stuff for regular people. And then a fractured right tibial plateau, you know, and pretty much a knee fracture. And he comes back from that. There was a point where he couldn't even walk. So he just comes back from that. Then he's going out and recording 16 sacks. This one, I hate to downplay it, but this is kind of a really a common injury for trench players such as Watt. So, you know, it's unfortunate that he has the remaining 8 games robbed, but it is something that he can come back from and he can still be effective for this team.
And I guess another positive way of looking at it is we still got to see some absolute vintage JJ Watt this year. We still got to see half a season out of him, which is good. We still got, I mean, he was leading the league in QB hits when he obviously went out the game today. So that says a lot about the level he's been playing at. So he's been a lot of fun to watch, if nothing else. And also moving forward, like you said, this isn't something that should necessarily bother him in the long run. So that's something, again, to look forward to, is that next year we should have the old Watt bag. And another way I guess you could look at it is he should have gotten comeback player of the year last year. He didn't. Perhaps he will next year.
Yeah, because there won't be any Andrew Luck unless he comes back and then robs it from Watt. But if he has the type of performance that he did, or really the one that he was on the way to having, assuming he would have completed the 8 games, you know, I think that's fodder enough for comeback player of the year. You know, he'll be 31 years old the only problem really that I worry about is, you know, what they're going to do when they look at his contract heading into 2020, because in 2020 he will be entering the penultimate year of his contract. It's up after the 2021 season. He'll count 15.5, I think, against the cap, and then in 2021, 17.5. Because of this injury, because it's the third time in the past 4 seasons he's ended up on IR, is this going to be something that makes the team want to move on from Watt, you know?
It also, another thing this sort of throws up is, personally, I don't, like, I can't necessarily see the Texans wanting to get rid of him. We know how much Bill O'Brien loves him, and should they decide to keep him around, what I can't help but wonder is, are they going to go down the route of, say, Jonathan Joseph in terms of contracts, where it's a 2 years and then just constant one-year extensions at a time, depending on his health, depending on if he can stay fit, if he can still produce at that level as well? Do you think perhaps that's a route we may have to start looking at for Watt?
Yeah, I think that Watt would definitely take those type of contracts that Joseph has signed. And like I said, I mean, from an organization standpoint, from managing the salary cap, you probably have to take those things into consideration. But here is the good news. I think it's after the 2021 season, if I'm a new collective bargaining agreement between the NFLPA and the NFL. And so the salary cap is expected to increase at that point. Yeah, it's 2021. So the salary cap's expected to go up. You have daily fantasy. You have just, odds making and wagering and how all of that's factoring into the NFL's money. You know, talking about the salary cap here and the implications for Watt's contract in 2019 probably seems a little silly because, it'll go up and probably take care of itself, and you can afford to keep Watt around for those two seasons and beyond, if he agrees to those Joseph-esque contracts.
Absolutely. And then also moving on, just looking in the sort of the shorter term, the Texans now are left with a big hole. I mean, we saw the effects that it had in that second half. There was nowhere near as much in terms of a consistent pass rush from the Texans defense. Now, yes, they've got Brennan Scarlett, who moved into that role a little bit more today, and then we saw Charles Amenihue, obviously, who's had a very promising rookie season. But do they perhaps look to bring someone else in short term, or even with a view to a longer term position, maybe in the place of, say, Whitney Mercilus or JJ in the long run? So I've heard Jake Asman, for example, another friend of the show, he's mentioned perhaps Leonard Williams of the Jets they should look at. I've thought perhaps Vic Beasley of the Falcons. He's not having a particularly good season, but we know he's on the trade block, and because he's not having a great season, he wouldn't cost them anywhere near as much as he would have prior to this year. So do you think the Texans look now to trade in for someone to replace for him so they can still push for the playoffs this year? Or do you think they just try and run with what they've got and focus more on the years to come?
I think they're definitely looking at adding talent. I mean, look what happened to the cornerback position. Not only did they churn the bottom of the roster, not only did they bring some veterans in for workouts, but they were on the phone with the Denver Broncos, according to Albert Breer of Sports Illustrated, trying to trade for Chris Harris when the price was too steep. They traded for Gerrion Conley with the Raiders. So I definitely think that the Texans are going to look to bring in someone to replace Watt for the 2019 season, let's call it. And our colleague Avery Duncan actually put together a quick list of three, four defensive ends that the Texans should, target in this post JJ Watt world. And you can find that on my favorite website, TexansWire.USAToday.com.
I have heard of that site. Apparently it's very good. I'll definitely have to have a look at that.
Yeah.
But it's a tough situation the Texans are in. It's not one that anyone in the building or anyone outside of the building, fans, even fans of other teams, will have wanted to see someone like that going down. So it is a real shame. But like you mentioned, it could have been a lot worse. And he's already posted on social media a few times that it could be a lot worse, and there's still things to look up to and look forward to. So it's not the end of the world from the Texans' point of view, but it's certainly not something we were hoping to speak about this evening. So it's a bit of a shame, but let's just move on, see if the Texans bring anyone else in. And I think it will also be interesting to see if they bring in any more cornerbacks, because as you mentioned, they were churning around the bottom of the roster a bit. And then after today, obviously, they lost Lonnie Johnson as well. Jonathan Joseph still wasn't back. Just one quick final question for you. Do you see them bringing in another cornerback this week, especially before such a long trip to London?
As in sign or trade?
Either or. Either or. I mean, the trade deadline's coming up, so.
Yeah, I think they bring in the guy that they worked out who was with the Chargers, and then he spent a little bit of last season with the Cardinals. I'm blanking on his name.
I think it was Williams, I think.
But I'm getting him confused with the Raiders receiver, Tyrell Williams.
I want to say Trevor Williams, but don't.
Trevor.
I think
there
so.
We go. Yeah. I think they'll bring in Trevor Williams, or they'll go cheap and bring in Gaines. But, I mean, at this point, even Lonnie Johnson, who you're relying on, is now concussed and probably – he's definitely in protocol. Will he clear and make it for the Jaguars game? Probably not. They're really in a world of hurt in the secondary. Anyway, I'm just rambling. I think that they'll bring in Williams. That's my prediction.
I think you're spot on there, to be honest. And another guy that I've mentioned this on social media a few times, someone I would personally look at is Tay Haynes, rookie cornerback on the Jags practice squad. I loved him in preseason, and I think he'd be a good addition for the Texans because I can see him as a long-term contributor in the NFL. But let's wait and see if they look at anyone else's practice squad. Let's be honest, if it's anyone, it will probably be the Patriots, knowing Bill O'Brien. So I think let's have a look, see who the Patriots have on their practice squad as well.
Yeah, and remember the rules of the practice squad. You sign someone, they have to be on your roster for 3 weeks, earning 3 weeks' salary. So if they do sign anybody off the practice squad, they better be darn sure. So, yeah, they'll probably go Patriots.
Absolutely. Mark, thank you so much for joining me this evening. I know it's been a very late one, but it's been a stressful day, I think is the best way I think to put it. But thank you so much for joining us. It's been a pleasure again. And, of course, where can our listeners find you on social media?
At The Real Mark Lane, and I just want to commend you on the great job that you've done with this podcast. You've really made it worthwhile listening, and I want to thank you for that.
Thanks very much. And either tomorrow or Tuesday, not 100% sure yet on when it will be out to listen to, but another friend of the show, Landry Locker, will be back to speak to us. And then later in the week, as the Texans head to London, we might have a special edition for you all to listen to. So keep an eye out for that. Make sure to subscribe on Apple, Google, Audio Boom, and Stitcher, of course. Thank you very much for listening. I've been your host, Anthony Wood. Follow me on Twitter at ARWoodNFL. And of course, keep up to date with everything Texans at the Texans Wire of USA Today. Thank you very much for listening. Go Texans.